The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Macklin takes the puck, slides it back to Dickinson. Celebrini knocked down Zuccarello there. Play continues. Here's Celebrini with it down the left across the line. Macklin moving in with Graf, who he scores! McCollin Graf from Macklin Celebrini. He stick handles right around the goaltender. Graf puts it past him, and the Sharks win in overtime, 2-1. Half the team going to Graf. Half the team going to Askarov. Askarov wasn't even supposed to start today, and he gets the start and the victory, and the Sharks, on a goal by Collin Graf in dramatic fashion, from Macklin Celebrini, stunned the crowd in Minnesota.
Yeah, I think they'll grow from this, you know, and of course you get the result, but they'll grow when you don't have your A game in the National Hockey League, which is going to happen. It's 82 games, the travel and everything that goes into it. You got to be able to impact the game with your B game and mentally check in and say, okay, I don't have it tonight. I need to simplify my hockey game. So I thought they did a better job of that in the third period. And then, obviously, they find themselves on the score sheet, which always is nice.
Good morning, and good golly, the San Jose Sharks are finding ways to win games that otherwise they would have lost 10 out of 10 times pretty much every year since the 2018-2019 campaign. How we all doing, everyone? I want to point out a couple things about this game and why it was set up to be a loss from the start. A, the Sharks have not had a four-game win streak since 2021. Let's just start off with that. And it's hard to fight against recent history when you're a team that's been in the midst of a rebuild and a build-up like they are in now. B, we talk about the fact that this is the first road game after what was the first wildly successful homestand in quite some time. So we take that into account. C, we look at the fact that at the last minute, they had a netminding change. Alex Nedeljkovic was supposed to start this game. He had a personal matter to attend to and was not able to start. I hope whatever's going on there, you know, obviously my thoughts go to him and his family and whatever's going on there, because you know if it takes a goalie away from its start, it's probably not a good thing. And then the last aspect of this is that the Sharks were thoroughly outplayed in this game. They, for most of the first, the second, and until they score that game-tying goal in the third period, they were clearly the worst team on the ice. But Yaroslav Askarov, who comes in to start at the last second, he found out just before the game, is able to take care of business for San Jose, make the big stops, and come up with the big, big saves time and time again. They only scored one goal against him. That was on the power play. Suddenly, he looks absolutely amazing after a rough start to the season. And the San Jose Sharks find themselves with a four-game win streak. They have beaten Minnesota two times in overtime this year, and they are on a massive path to rectification that we have not seen in quite some time. I mean, these are just things that the Sharks have not done in recent history. Even when they were winning games in years past, which was rare, it was still just, it wasn't like that. It wasn't a game in which they were thoroughly outplayed. Yes, there were some comebacks, like the way they came back against Utah last year or Detroit 2 years ago in early December of 2023. There were some nice wins along the way, but the way this has been setting up, the way that San Jose has found ways to win games as opposed to finding ways to lose games, you know, that's really something special. And you go beyond that. You look at this game, the fact that Macklin Celebrini was not his usual self. And I think the team, this goes, you know, to everyone, not just Macklin, everybody but William Eklund really looked like they had dead legs, looked like they were a step slow, looked like they were just not on their A game. And I tweeted on this last night, the fact that the Sharks were probably something closer to what, you know, with regards to what we've seen this year, was closer to their D game. and still kept themselves in it. You know, they did not let Minnesota take control of the game. They didn't just pack it in. They just didn't file it under a typical loss and move on to the next game. They kept on going shift after shift, period after period, and gave themselves an opportunity when all is said and done. And those opportunities in years past, 99% of the time weren't there. And if the opportunity was there, the most you were going to walk away with was a point. And this was a big talking point for all of us heading into this year. We said that if the Sharks could turn so many of those one-goal losses into one-goal wins, that their entire season, the entire narrative, the entire outlook would be wildly and vastly different. Well, they're starting to do that, guys. They're starting to get those types of wins. You look at tight wins against Winnipeg. You look at tight wins against Florida. You look at tight wins against Minnesota twice now. You look at tight wins against the Rangers, against the Devils. You go down the list, the Sharks are winning those tight games. That's the most important part of all of this, is that instead of them being one goal or one goal plus an empty netter loss, they are turning these into one goal or one goal plus an empty netter wins. That is such a stark contrast to what we saw previously, and I think that underlines everything we've seen from San Jose this year. And we even saw them do it again to start off the year in game number one against Vegas and game number two against Anaheim. Yes, they started off 0-4-2, but since that point, they've been 8-2-1. That is remarkable. I mean, absolutely remarkable from San Jose. It's been fun. It's been a good ride. And I would like to see how long they can keep this going, because I know that there's a tendency to think, well, it has to end, of which it, of course, does have to end. But why does it have to end right now? Calgary has not at all been playing great hockey in the slightest. They are just wildly below their expectations, if we're being honest. They lost again last night. They're 4-12-2 on the year. They've lost three in a row. And this presents an opportunity for San Jose to kind of move things up. And at the end of the night, we see San Jose in a playoff spot last night, I should say, 8-6-3, 19 points, tied in points with Chicago. And then also, if we look at where Seattle is, they have 19 points as well. They've played one fewer game, so that's why they're above San Jose right now. But guys, this feels wholly different than anything we've seen in ages. And I don't know if it's going to last. It probably won't last. At some point, San Jose will cool down and find themselves in a situation where they're going to have to make sure that a two or three game losing streak doesn't turn into an extended losing streak. But this is fun right now. And I think that's the most important part about this, is the team is having fun. The players are having fun. The story last night of Barclay Goodrow playing a song with the word baby in it. I know they said it's a rap song, but in my mind, I'm just going with Baby by Justin Bieber, because I think that's far funnier in my brain, of using that as the song that they get kind of hyped about in between periods. It doesn't really matter what the song is. It's just mentally funny for me to think that it's Biebs. But if they are finding ways to find motivation in a game of which they are thoroughly being outplayed, I mean, think about how loose that atmosphere must be right now compared to what it was when they were 0-4-2, when everybody was gripping, when everybody was tight, when everybody was just overly, just way, way too tense and really trying to do too much on the ice, and it was leading to some bad play. And, you know, you just had everything going wrong in that 0-4-2 start. And without that 0-4-2 start, the Sharks are the talk of the league. And I still think if you win those first two games, then it's much more in line with my expectations, like I had been saying all throughout the preseason. My expectation for San Jose was to get out over their skis and peter off later into the year. And I don't think that is still a wildly inaccurate take, nor would I be not happy with that. But the fact that the Sharks, for the first six games, went without a win and have since that point gone 8-2-1, I mean, that's the type of streaking win that you see from very, very high-quality teams. They've won four games in a row. I'm looking around the league. You know, the Avs have a four-game win streak going, and the other long one is Boston. Boston's been red hot. So the Sharks are tied for the second longest win streak in the NHL right now. So I will enjoy this for as long as I can. I will enjoy San Jose being the better team in every matchup for as long as I can. And even last night, they weren't the better team till the final, 10 minutes of the third period, and then into overtime, they weren't even the better team, and they found a way to win. And that overall is indicative of being the better team. Finding ways to win as opposed to finding ways to lose. That is the stark contrast between what we have seen, not just from the start of this year to where we are now, but from the last several seasons of the San Jose Sharks. And then, you know, you look at a night where Macklin and Will were not playing their best hockey, where they were frustrated, where they didn't have their, like we said earlier, not even their A, B, or C game, and I think that goes team-wide. You eventually, given an opportunity, find a way for San Jose to get that big moment, for them to find their two future stars, and I would say present stars, to be able to walk away with that game-tying goal. It's a power play. It's to Foley, to Celebrini, to Smith. It's the feel-good sleepover line. It's a 1-1 game. And then in overtime, you get all three players that are part of the youth movement in San Jose, Sam Dickinson, to Celebrini, to Colin Graf for the win. This is just the kind of thing that breeds confidence. It's letting these younger players believe that they have an opportunity to make good things happen, that like Sam Dickinson winning the puck back for San Jose in overtime is an overlooked aspect of that win because he just made a veteran play. It wasn't like a young guy doing something simply spectacular. It was just Sam Dickinson going out there and doing his job. I mean, that was a big, big moment. And you look at the play of the San Jose Sharks throughout this game, whether it was Yaroslav Askarov coming up with yet another monumental performance, stepping up to the moments. I mean, these are just things that good teams do. And again, I don't know if it lasts, but you're seeing more of the inkling that it can turn into something. I mean, let's go over his last four starts against Colorado. 2 goals against, .947 save percentage. November 5th in a win against Seattle, .967 save percentage, 29 saves. November 8th against Florida, 38 saves, .974 save percentage. And then last night, 28 saves, .966 save percentage. The lowest save percentage he's had in his last four starts is .947. I want you to think about that for a second. That is such a high-quality performance from your goaltender. Man, to have consistent, high-quality net mining, to have a defense that has now, what, gone 7 games in which they've given up 2 or fewer? I mean, these are massive performances, guys. This is winning hockey. And I hate to sound like the Sharks have figured it all out, that this is just who they are now, because I do expect that they will have a cool down at some point. But it shows you that the talent is there right now in young players and in veterans, and the Sharks have been able to figure something out, at least in the short term, to have their best extended streak of hockey in years. And that is bigger than maybe anything else that we've seen this year or in the last few years, because they're figuring out ways to win games. The youth is playing good hockey. The veterans are playing good hockey. The guys that you need to rely upon are playing good hockey. And the team collectively is playing good hockey. On November 12th, they find themselves in a wild card spot. 8 wins, 6 losses, 3 overtime losses, 19 points. 4-3-3 at home, 4-3-0 on the road. This is fun. Let's get into some of these highlights, especially Yaroslav Askarov coming up with big saves time and time again. It didn't take him long into this game to come up with a big stop for San Jose.
Right now, Minnesota on the attack. Hinostrosa splitting through and making a nice stick handling move, but a good save off the wrist shot there made by Askarov.
And that would be a story we would hear all night long with Yaroslav Askarov making big save after big save, giving his team a chance to win on a night where they weren't their best. Now, coming into this game, the San Jose Sharks had killed off 17 straight power plays by the opposition, but that streak would come to a close. In this game, they took far too many penalties, some penalties that I didn't love that were being called, A, but B, some penalties that they didn't need to take in the first place. They have been getting way too many penalties. They need to get that out of their game. They've been winning in spite of it. You love that because it means they can handle adversity. But don't make life any harder on yourself than it needs to be. And the Wild did find that breakthrough with the 1-0 lead off the power play.
Back on the point, Bouillon dishes left side. Grabbed by Zuccarello. He thought about making a play. Held on to the puck. He still has it. Sends it across the rink. And a one-time shot by Boldy. Score! So patience is a total virtue on the other side of the ice for Matt Zuccarello. That's why he's so dangerous for this Wild power play. And a perfectly surgical pass through not a lot of traffic and not a lot of space. And Boldy ripped that shot. And when he has that puck on his stick, it's probably in. Wild one, Sharks nothing.
So Matt Boldy gives the Wild the lead at the 5:02 mark of the second period, assisted by Matt Zuccarello and Zeev Bouyam, the rookie defenseman who, again, is playing very, very high-quality hockey to start off this year. But the San Jose Sharks found themselves in a deficit, and like I alluded to earlier, it kept on being more and more work for Yaroslav Askarov, who kept the Sharks in this game.
Exchange passes with Boldy. Give it back to Matt Boldy. Near side, centering feed, tipped on goal. Great save, Askarov. And that was off of Eriksson X chance. That was perfectly executed by Minnesota.
And from there, the Sharks would just continue to survive. And they kept on giving themselves an opportunity. And the longer they stayed in this game, the longer I kept on wondering if they were going to be able to get a game-tying goal or if they were going to keep Minnesota within reach. And they did. They kept on coming up with the big stops. They kept on seeing Yaroslav Askarov bail them out. Even though the Sharks did not have their A, B, or C game, and I'm not trying to be inflammatory there, they just didn't look like they had it last night. Their legs looked tired. They didn't look like they had the energy. And like I said, there was the setup for the letdown game after a very successful homestand to where they go out on the road and just don't have that wind at their sails and find themselves on the wrong end of a tough loss. But they kept themselves within striking distance. And finally, when the Sharks get an opportunity on the power play, Macklin Celebrini, from Tyler Toffoli to Will Smith, a late-ish game-tying goal that breathes life into their game.
Sharks are on the man advantage. They move through center ice, get across the blue line, head to the slot, Toffoli in front, here's a play, Smith shoots, score! Toffoli to Celebrini to Smith, and Will Smith ties the game 1-1 with a tic-tac-toe goal that was a thing of beauty, and it was on the power play in the third.
And at this point on, you've got 8 minutes remaining to try and earn a point. And at that point, I was just thinking to myself, hey, if San Jose can walk away with a point out of this game, I am going to be relatively happy because they were not with their best game. The San Jose Sharks had other ideas, however, as they kept on giving themselves a chance in this game to send it to overtime. Minnesota would try. They would not find a go-ahead goal. San Jose gets it to overtime. And then it's Macklin Celebrini getting the puck from Sam Dickinson and getting it to Colin Graf for the San Jose Sharks' fourth consecutive win and a great start to this road trip.
Macklin takes the puck, slides it back to Dickinson. Celebrini knocked down Zuccarello there. Play continues. Here's Celebrini with it down the left across the line. Macklin moving in with Graf, who he scores! Colin Graf from Macklin Celebrini. He stick handles right around the goaltender. Graf puts it past him, and the Sharks win in overtime, 2-1. Half the team going to Graf. Half the team going to Askarov. Askarov wasn't even supposed to start today, and he gets the start and the victory, and the Sharks on a goal by Colin Graf in dramatic fashion from Macklin Celebrini stunned the crowd in Minnesota.
The Sharks have flipped the narrative to go from losing in a dramatic fashion to winning in a dramatic fashion. This is a complete change from what we've seen in the future for San Jose. Before we get into the postgame audio, I wanted to get into this answer that I had yesterday from Curtis Pashelka when I interviewed him. If you'd like to hear that interview, the entirety of it, that is on the build-up game 17 versus Minnesota. But I asked him about realistic expectations for the Sharks going into this road trip, knowing that a team like Minnesota was having a rectification, Calgary was due to turn things around, and the Sharks were maybe due to cool off a little bit in light of how hot they had been.
Right, right. And then, you know, Minnesota, too, I mean, they won 4 or 5 going into tonight. So they sort of turned things around from that last time they played the Sharks, where there's, you know, in a little bit of a rut. But they seem to have turned things around here quite, you know, recently. And so I would expect another tight game tonight. And, you know, to go to Calgary after that game, and, you know, that's a team that's just having a lot of trouble scoring right now. They're in last place in the league's in the overall standings. There's a lot of question marks about who's going to stay, who's going to go when it comes to that team and their future. And then obviously close it out in Seattle, who's having a pretty good year too. So I think when you look at the Sharks road trip as a whole, if you can come out of it with 4 points out of the 6, I think you'd be pretty happy with that. And, you know, just to sort of keep the train rolling here and keep the momentum that the Sharks have built up here recently. And, you know, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, like the old cliche goes, I mean, anybody can beat anybody on any given night in the NHL. So certainly the Sharks want to come out of this with 4 points, 5 points, or even 6 points. They got to do what they've done recently here to sort of keep their game in order and, you know, hopefully get good goaltending along the way as well.
And all of those things that Curtis just mentioned happened. The Sharks got good goaltending. They were able to give themselves a chance. They were highly competitive. And like Curtis said, I was kind of the mind that if the Sharks get 4 out of 6 points on this road trip, that would be a great, great way for them to handle these three games. And I think that shows you how wildly the narrative has flipped for San Jose to where it used to be, you know, get any points on a road trip. And now you're thinking, hey, they've got a chance to win 2 out of 3 or to get, you know, 67% of the points that are available to them on this road trip. But now they've got an opportunity to where they've won the first game. They've got 2 chances to get to 4. And I do think that you want to get a little bit greedy. And I'm not trying to beat up on anyone because the Sharks were in this situation. But Calgary has been bad to start off the year. It is not in line with my expectations. I do expect for them to have a turnaround at some point. But the Sharks should be going into this game thinking they're not playing their best hockey. We need to punish them early and often, put the game out of reach, and have a low-stress win. And I know that's a wild turn compared to where the Sharks have been as of late, where every win seems to come, you know, having to play a perfect game. But the Sharks have now shown multiple times this year that they can play a game that is less than perfect and still walk away with the win and the 2 points when all is said and done. But I would say the mentality going into Calgary has just got to be punish them. Make them feel all the effects of their slow start to the season early on in that game. Put it out of reach and give yourself a game that you can have easy, and then set up a showdown against Seattle, a team that you've already throttled once this year, 6-1, and put that in their minds of the Sharks have already beat us bad. They're coming off 5 straight victories and present a formidable challenge for the Kraken. I mean, that's the way that you get teams mentally prepared to lose. When you see they're red hot and they compare that with how they've already played against you this year, they know they're in for a tough night. I think right now a lot of the league is realizing, considering the Sharks have beaten so many good teams at this young point of the year, that everyone is in for a tough night against San Jose, at least in the short term. Again, I keep on feeling like I need to qualify these statements by saying that we don't know what the Sharks are going to be in the long term because this is such a stark contrast to what we've seen in recent memory, but it does feel just significantly more real. It is year number 2 for Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini. It is the 3rd full year in the NHL for William Eklund, who's back healthy and was absolutely phenomenal last night. He was the guy that was creating so many chances last night for San Jose, and it was something that Ryan Warsawski even touched on after the game, just the fact that we constantly talk about Macklin, but maybe we need to be acknowledging just sort of the play that we've seen this year from William Eklund and how he immediately looked like that player again once he got back into the ice last night, coming back from injury.
Eki was really good. We talk about Mac being on a mission. This kid's on a mission as well. So 3rd period dominated, made plays. He just doesn't have a give in his body. He just wants to work and compete, and he wants to help this organization win hockey games. And you can just see it. It's all over him. He's grown a lot. He's grown a lot as far as being in that guy that has his B game and still impacts it. And, you know, that's something that Mac and Will learn as well. But I think Eki has been on a mission since training camp.
You know, William Eklund's path for the San Jose Sharks, year number 1, he's up for the start of the season, then gets sent back to Sweden. We know he's upset about that. Year number 2, he gets a taste with San Jose again, but is with the Barracuda. 2 years ago, he has his first full season in the NHL. He has 45 points. Last year, he has his second full year. He bumps up to 58 points. And this year, before he got hurt, he was looking like he was on pace to be a point-per-game type player, and I still think that is most definitely in his future. But it's great to see William Eklund back in the lineup for San Jose and looking like he is every bit of the same impact player he was before he went down, because he had been playing the best hockey of his career. He was so confident. He was driving, you know, in between the dots, working centrally, getting into the dirty spaces, making things happen. And I talked about this yesterday with Curtis Pichelka as well, but I was saying that, you know, there's so much defensive responsibility that goes on that line, because they're usually out there against the top line, that you have Alex Wennberg with so much responsibility that allowing William Eklund to drive so much of that offense, I think, frees up Wennberg as well as Kurashev in the way that he's been playing as well lately. So you just see a nice harmonious balance on that second line. And up top, you know, you've got the sleepover line. And we did see Colin Graf shift into it later. But you got, you know, the sleepover line, the feel-good line up top with Toffoli, Smith, and Macklin at center. And then the second line with Kurashev, Eklund, and Wenberg playing center. But those top two lines give you so much right now. And with your bottom six, you're able to see guys kind of shift in and shift out. You know, whether you need to have Colin Graf move up, whether you need to have Jeff Skinner move up. Obviously, we've seen Adam Gaudette return to the lineup. We've seen Ryan Reeves play some big minutes for San Jose. Barclay Goodrow keeps on coming through. And, you know, one of the things that we consistently point out about Barclay Goodrow is the fact that he is such a team guy and has such an impact on the dressing room. I mean, we're hearing this story from Colin Graf last night that he put on a song in between the second and third periods. And again, we don't know what song it is. We just know that it's rap and it has the word baby in it. My first hope was that it was Baby by Biebs, like I said earlier. But whatever song it is, it's allowing them to hang loose and allowing them to be able to step up to the moment. And apparently he's done it a couple times this year. Let's hear from Colin Graf.
Yeah, you know, as you said before, it wasn't our best. I think, you know, Goody put some music on, got the boys going into the third, just sort of trying to get the vibes going, trying to get everyone's spirits up, and it worked for sure.
What was the song?
He's right there. I don't know. I don't know the name of it. But
what kind of vibe? Like,
yeah.
Country?
Rap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got you guys going?
Yeah, exactly. Got us going.
I love the entirety of that interaction because Graf is sitting there in the dressing room. Clearly, everybody's getting ready around him. They're like, do you know what song it was? He's like, no, he's right there. Ask him, guys. But that just is indicative of how hang loose everything is right now with the San Jose Sharks. And when you're winning, you can be loose. When you're losing, you're tight. You're gripping. Everybody is kind of holding it all in. You've got that need to exhale, but you're not able to do so. But right now, the Sharks are having their most free and fun moments in years. I mean, last year we talked about it being the most fun last place team that we'd ever seen. But we all knew going into this year, it needed to be more than that. You needed to have wins along the way. You needed to see this team take big steps. You needed not just to have Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith be a vision of the future, a glimpse at it. You needed them to become the future. And the way they've played early in this year, not just Macklin and Smith, but you've seen the young players make contributions. Colin Graf, you know, he's making plays on the penalty kill that lead to shorthanded goals. Will Smith is burying chances from Macklin Celebrini, or he's setting up a Macklin Celebrini goal like he did off the forecheck against Florida the other night, or he's finding Sam Dickinson for a game-tying goal from behind the net to get the Sharks a point against Detroit, you know, just over a week ago. You know, Macklin Celebrini looks like one of the top players in the NHL right now. You know, those are three young players. Sam Dickinson assists on the goal last night in overtime. And then you've got Sam Dickinson getting a game-tying goal against Detroit a little over a week ago. You know, you are watching Shakir Mukhmudulin step up and have big performances. Yaroslav Askarov has been pretty much as good as you could ask a goalie to be in the NHL as of late. He's given up nothing. He's given up, you know, 2-1-1-1. That's insane. If you give up two or fewer in four consecutive starts, yeah, you're giving your team a chance to win night in, night out. And that's exactly what he's doing. And we go down the list of all these players the Sharks have brought in. William Eklund, obviously, they're developing him. And he looks exactly like what they hoped he would be when they drafted him, which feels like forever ago, but he's only 23. He's coming into his own as a star player in this league, and he's helping the Sharks have a chance in every game he's on the ice. Hopefully, that's the only bump in the road for him all year long, and he's out there to help San Jose continue to find ways to win. And again, we go back to this whole way of finding ways to win, and the Sharks are doing so this year. That is the great contrast from 1 year ago. It's the ability to find wins, whereas previously they found losses. And you know that Ryan Warsofsky has to be feeling good about his team right now and has to be having some confidence going into the next two games of this road trip.
Yeah, again, it was better in probably our third, but first two, arguably far our worst two periods of the year. So, but we found a way, and that's the most important thing. It's a hard league to win in, so we can't dwell on it. There's things we gotta get better at. We didn't have our legs at all.
So Warsofsky is definitely aware of the fact that they did not have their best last night, and that's something we keep on coming back to. He knows that now, when they don't have their A game, that they can still find a way to win. And I do not think that was even their B game, like I said, or their C game. I think it was far below that because they just didn't have their energy. But you had your goalie bail you out. You kept it tight enough to where you had your chance to strike. You tie it at one, And then in overtime, you see what can happen. Anything can happen in overtime. Anything did happen. And once again, the San Jose Sharks find a way to walk away with the win. And right now, guys, this is fun. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it's fun right now. It hasn't been this fun since the spring of 2019. All right, next up for the San Jose Sharks, it is Thursday. They are in Calgary taking on the Flames. That is a 6 o'clock start time, 5:30 pregame, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Join us for the call. Dan Ruzanowski, the Hall of Famer, hopefully broadcasting another win. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.